Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and good morning to those dialing in from the US. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to PT LinkNet's Full Year 2016 Earnings Conference Call, hosted by Mr. Irwan Jaya, President Director of the company. At this time, all participants are on a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. This call will be recorded and a recording will be posted on LinkNet's IR website starting tomorrow for a period of 7 days. I will now hand the call over to Mr. Irwan Jaya for his opening remarks. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Hello everyone and welcome to our full year 2016 earnings conference call. I appreciate you taking the time to dial in. With me today on this call are Ibu Liriawati, our Investor Relations Director, Mr. Timotius Sulaiman, who is our CFO, Desmond Poon, our Chief Technology Officer and Product Officers, and Mina Andani, our Content and Marketing Director, as well as Mr. Sutrisno Budidharma, our Sales Director. We have uploaded our 2016 audited financial statements on both the IDX and our IR website, along with our results presentation, which we will go through with you today. Let me start off the presentation by bringing you through some of the key highlights of our full year 2016 results. Full year 2016 key highlights. We went into 2016 with very cautious expectations and start to the year due to the continued softness of macroeconomics. We did what we need to say to do, stay focused on our cost strategy and also realign our operating mechanism to adapt to the changes in the competitive marketplace that is ever present. Amidst the slew of the challenges, however, I'm delighted to report that we have delivered another year of solid operational and financial results and also a profitable growth. Number one, total revenue grew on higher side of our guidance at 15% year-on-year. Our EBITDA grew 19% year-on-year at deep margin of 58.4%. And net profit up by solid 28% year-on-year at 28% margin. We added 153,000 home pass during the year, bringing in total 1.83 million affluent households. A revenue-generating unit up by 50%, clocking in total of 1.024 million by the end of 2016. Our penetration rate has also improved to 29%, as well as churn rate also improved to 2.2% versus last year. Our quality products continue to command premium pricing, and I'm pleased to report premium ARPU of 407,000 rupiah per subscriber, albeit competitive pressures. A reflection of our more than 10 years brand equity and proven track record trusted among the consumers. We have also continued to work on our enterprise business. In 2016 Q3, after we enhanced our product and services offering, enterprise showed a good and more promising growth momentum in second semester. We managed to win major government and private projects and secure new SMB accounts. This game bears another testimony to the quality and high degree of reliability of our enterprise solutions that are highly sought after the business community. Furthermore, adding to our testament to our customer-focused strategy, we have launched our smart living services. It is an integrated home security solution at affordable price, where consumers can monitor their home activities from remote, an affordable necessity community have been waiting for. Today, we are also proud to inform you that we have recently received 2016 Top IT and Telco Awards for Internet Provider category from iTech Magazine. This award is an annual award given by several prestigious IT consultant associations and companies, with the full support of the Minister of Communication and Information Technology. First Media won this award for 3 consecutive years, from 2014 to 2016. We could not think of a better way to cap 2016 than with this meaningful yet humbling recognition of our continuous effort at delivering superior value to our customers. And with that, let me now hand over the call to Liria Wati, our Investor Relations Director, to go through the details.
Thank you, Payuan. Hello, everyone. I'm Liria. Let me take you through the details of our key performance indicators briefly mentioned by Payuan earlier. If you can refer to slide 3 with the title Strong Home Pass and RGU Edition. Despite the external pressures from many fronts, the company delivered a solid set of operational KPI in 2016. We continued to expand our home pass across our 3 existing cities with 36,000 home pass added in Q4, or a total of 153,000 homes added in 12 months 2016. This is a higher side of our guidance at the start of the year. Our home pass today already rounding to a total of 1.826 million homes connected. We will continue to be much disciplined in this area, balancing between continued stretch targets, but also preserving the network rollout quality as we continue to expand. With more homes added during the year, we are still able to improve our penetration rates to 29%. We activated a total of net 64,000 new broadband RGU and net 70,000 new cable TV RGU in 2016, of which 15,000 and 14,000 comes from Q4. End of period 2016, our total RGU booked at 1.024 million subscribers, and that's an addition of 15% versus last year. This strong showing is the result of a mix of attack and defensive strategies initiated by the team in response to slow and competitive market conditions. Full year 2016, our average monthly churn rate has also improved to 2.2%. While Lingnet blended ARPU continued to be premium at 407,000 rupiah, albeit challenging macroeconomics and competitive pressures, and not to mention declining ARPU trends across the industry. We continue to deliver on our operational KPIs very well, and we're largely on track with our expectation and guidance. These achievements have set us the foundation for further growth across our footprints in the most important metropolitan cities in Indonesia, which is Greater Jakarta, Greater Surabaya, and Bandung. Slide 4, solid revenue growth and steady trajectory. For the last 5 years since 2011, we have achieved consistently and sustainably a revenue growth, mainly driven by the company's market leadership and operational performance. We see growth coming from both residential and enterprise business. We grew revenue by solid 19% in Q4 year-on-year. This is the highest ever revenue growth since Q3 2015, delivering 809 billion rupiah, while for the full year 2016, total revenue grew at 15%, delivering 2,954 billion rupiah, of which 84% derived from the residential business and 16% from enterprise. Growth in the overall residential revenue has been largely driven by continued home pass expansion within our 3 core coverage cities and increasing penetration within these areas. 2, we have continued to improve ourselves in our product offerings and value-added services and have led to 24% increase in upsell transactions in 2016. In Q4 2016 itself, our upsell transactions have grown 88%, and these are all driven by the value-added services such as speed boosters,
the X1 smart box,
and the success of a wireless 4G LTE bundled offer which we launched last year, which has generated about 37,000 take-ups, or equivalent to about 7% of our subscriber base. Datacom has been the driver to enterprise growth, attributable to the following factors. One, network expansion and scale across Greater Jakarta region has provided us opportunity to capture a larger number of enterprise clients. Our circuits have expanded 46% in 2016. And in Q4, we won over several major government projects offering. Two, complementary usage patterns where our enterprise clients leverage on idle daytime bandwidth, which is already paid for by the residential customers, has resulted in low incremental costs, thus allowing us to actually price our product to be a lot more appealing. Our initiative to adjust our enterprise product further in Q3 2016 have enabled us to gain even better growth momentum since then. Three, superior broadband quality that has made Datacom one of the leading data communication services to the business community. And after the extensive 15 years of trusted partnership, Jakarta Stock Exchange continued to upgrade and upsize their services with us. Last but not least, while there are still many more works to be done, especially on SMB and the high dependency of good macro to grow, we are still very optimistic about its robust revenue growth potential as significant upsides continue to abound. Slide 5. Solid deep margins continue. The company continued to generate strong and deep profitable margins while consistently expanding its top line. Q4 EBITDA margin stood high at 57% and EBITDA at 461 billion rupiah, grew by 24% with the same quarter last year. While on the full term 2016, total EBITDA margin is at 58.4%, delivering 1.727 trillion rupiah, grew by 19%. This is mainly due to a combination of continued gains in operational leverages, better negotiations, as well as the spend discipline. As for our net profit margin in Q4 2016, we continue to deliver a solid 26.4%, generating 213 billion rupiah, grew by 20% versus the same quarter last year. And on full term 2016, net profit margin was at 28%, delivering 819 billion rupiah, grew by 28% versus last year, which is mainly driven by FX gain. Over the last few years, Linknet has consistently proven their commitment to deliver a business of sustainable, profitable growth. 2016 is another year of our commitment track record, not to mention a profitability level that is one of the highest in the industry. Slide 6, strategic spending on the back of strong balance sheets. Capital expenditure reached 896 billion rupiah in 2016 and was primarily supported by cash flow from operations, as well as vendor financing facilities for certain equipment purchases. Our CAPEX this year has been spent on top of regular rollout, mainly to significant network and engineering upgrades, which is part of the reconciliations of our position in time when the market is slow. And to anticipate subscriber base expansion and service offering upgrades in the future, as we always said, we compete on the basis of service, not just size. At the end of 2016, Linknet's balance sheets have remained strong. The company's position continues to be in a net cash position, which stood at high 369 billion rupiah, and we will make this cash work harder as we intend to, one, continue to reinvest into the business as a top priority as there remain plenty of room to grow our footprint and secure sustainable, profitable growth for the company in the future. Two, short-term investment in fund management companies are looking out for a good merger and acquisition that will position us stronger in the market. Three, ultimately, we aim to remunerate our shareholders by taking measures either through dividend or buybacks as one of the best uses of our cash. We have completed our dividend payout in Q2 and have continued to do buyback of our shares in Q4. And as per December 2016, our buyback has totaled to 83,963,800 units, which is equivalent to about 2.76% of our total outstanding shares. And that's about 386 billion rupiah worth parked as treasury stock. We believe this vote of confidence in the company's strong fundamentals and future prospects, as well as a sensible use of our strong balance sheets. This marked the end of our full year 2016 financial result presentation. I would like to hand over the call back to Pak Irwan for some closing remarks.
Thank you, Liria. Ladies and gentlemen, we have shared with you today our key operational and financial drivers for our business. And once again, I'm pleased to report that we have delivered another year of profitable growth. In summary, our business is still growing. We achieved mid-teens top line and even higher bottom line. We're generating substantial free cash flow, best of both worlds. Let me also reiterate that the company's ongoing commitment and the company's key strategy focus for 2017 and our market guidance. There are four strategic pillars that I would like to discuss. Number one, we maintain expansion momentum through a smarter rollout, of which we will continue to focus our path in expansion into areas by filling in the gaps through partnership and expansions. We will achieve a minimum of 150,000 net addition home pass, if not more, with capex of 1 trillion, more or less. We would like to maximize, number two is, we would like to maximize capital utilization through intensification, i.e. a drive deeper penetration into our residential homes. We will relentlessly create compelling consumer packages and offer value-added services for upselling opportunities. We will also leverage both bundle success and our good relationship to also explore, utilize and test new technologies, including wireless that will help reach density lacking areas, as this will be a key ingredient and complementing tools for us to grow our market, extend our reach and increase customer stickiness. Revenue growth of about 13 to 40% in 2017, EBITDA of 57 to 58% with a penetration rate of 28 to 30%. Number three, we would like to improve the enterprise business, leveraging on enterprise growth momentum built in second semester 2016. We will persistently push the business further by testing different product offerings, technology and services, and continue to develop our resources in this sector. Enterprise should be able to contribute 16 to 20% to total revenue down the road. The four pillars of our strategy. Focus on service quality. Last but not least, we will continue to strive to win and improve overall service quality at home, as we have proven existing service and support infrastructure in place. Linknet's natural strength as the first and number one established home service competency with top brand of recognition. Hence, we believe we can deliver 13 to 15% subscriber growth at premium ARPU of 400,000 range. Linknet fundamental remains strong and healthy with ample of room to grow given the huge yet under-penetrated broadband market. And we have started 2017 in good position. we are optimistic about the prospect of the business and outlook for the rest of the year, and confident in our ability to continue to grow profitably and create value not just for our customers, but certainly also for our stakeholders. From a corporate standpoint of view, as we have informed our shareholders and partners, the management will table and seek approval on the upcoming annual general meeting on April 21st to exercise the dividend payout. Management would like to propose a dividend payout ratio of 35% on this upcoming AGM meeting. We have carefully studied this decision and believe our proposal is a vote of confidence in the company's strong fundamental and future prospects, as well as sensible use of our strong balance sheet and the company cash position, as we remain confident of Link's value. With that, I would like to conclude our presentation and hand over the call to the operator for the Q&A session. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pak Yirwan and Liria, for the presentation. We will now commence with the question and answer session, which will be open to any call attendees present. To ask your question, kindly press star followed by the number 1 on your telephone. Please identify yourself by stating your name and the organization you represent before posing your question. The first question comes from Hussaini Saifi from Citi. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi. Thanks for the call and congratulations on good set of numbers. Two questions from me. First is on the net adds. So net adds has relatively slowed down in the fourth quarter compared to first semester. So want to check why it was the case and what should we expect in FY17. Also, that Telkom has launched relatively cheap double play plans. So how do you see it going to impact competitive intensity in the market? Second question
This is Mina, the Marketing and Content Director. If I may, I will repeat the two questions that you asked. The first question was in relation to net adds. Your question was, why did it slow down in quarter four versus quarter one? And what are we expecting in 2017? And then the second question was about the Telkom double play and how we plan to address that.
I'll take the first question on the net adds. There's a little bit of slowdown of net additions in Q4 attributed to a little bit of higher churn that quarter. These are attributed to two factors. One is we experienced a major outage, or basically a fiber cut, that quarter. Secondly, it's because of the remaining NAB customers that actually take up the 30% promotion who are expiring during that quarter. Both that factors have been addressed by us by offering promotion extension and also network cleanup done. And that has actually been back to normal since, I think, end of January already. So that has been addressed. So hopefully that answers your questions. The second one is Telkom.
Yeah, the second question is relating to Telkom. Yes, we are aware that they have launched a double play product. Well, to be honest, at this present moment, we don't know what's the impact of that product to our customer services yet. It's relating to that thing is, we have not seen a huge increase in the cost cutting or cost thinning at the present moment. I think that's probably one of the reasons why they have anticipated this internet-only product. In this country, OTT is still not as prevalent compared to many other countries. Of course, we do see that there are such trends happening in other countries, so we're actually anticipating that. Again, I think I want to remind that we have actually, our setup box, for example, is an X1 setup box that's able to support Android OTT application, so we fully embrace OTT. We have also launched our FMX service last year, which basically provides an OTT alternative for our customers. And last but not least, I think we are in the process of exploring, possibly trialing an internet-only product, but that's still at a very early stage right now.
Okay, thanks for that. I just have one more question on the cost line item. So if I see others' cost under cost of services, it has increased quite significantly. I just want to check what drove that. Thank you.
Okay, you can add a little bit. The other cost here is actually upsell. We have actually a lot of incidences of upsell in 2016. It grew at about 24%, and I think in Q4 especially grew about 88%. So this upsell happens to be a very successful upselling team selling value-added services. In this case, it's the, Speed Boosters, the X1 Android setup box, and also the bundle for the 4G LTE sister company. So that has actually been the drivers behind that growth of others. You want to add?
There is actually what Liria already explained is the majority of the causes, and some of them is also attributed to the also the cost of service that we do this bundled product with both, and then this somehow also included this cost.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Our next question is from Matthew Craigs from Canaan Valley. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Very good.
Good. Thank you.
All right. Look, as I think most of you know, I've been a long-term shareholder. I'm just curious. There's been a lot of volume.
Your name?
Matthew Craigs with Canaan Valley Capital.
Hi, Matt.
Canaan Valley Capital.
Yeah.
Hey, how you guys? There you go. question for you. There's been a lot of volume lately in your stock. Has CVC been selling? And what's the plan for them if they have not at this point?
Have CVC been
selling?
So, Matthew, I'm just going to repeat your question. Your question was in relation to CVC. You asked whether CVC has been selling. And what's their plan?
Yes, because you know, it's a big number that they ultimately want to sell. I think the best plan would be to do a secondary equity offering and a roadshow if they can't sell it to a strategic buyer. But I'm just wondering, the volume's been so high for 30 straight days.
Hi, Matt. As to whether CVC has been selling, the answer is actually no. Currently, CVC is still standing hold with their 33.5% shareholders' ownership. So the one that has been trading highly in the marketplace has been basically our long-term investors that has been holding from us quite some time in big bulks, and they have been actually selling down. But as we discussed earlier on as well, the sell down from these houses has been actually absorbed very quickly with other houses from not only U.S. now, but I guess Japan, Australia, and U.K. markets, which I think is good to diversify our portfolio. So this has been the one that is buying our shares as well.
All right, great. I just wanted to check in on that. I would hope that when CVC plans on selling, if they don't do a strategic, if someone's strategic, they would look to do a secondary offering given their size. Has that been discussed at all yet?
Well, that discussion was, they have not discussed that with the management. I think, by the way, we understand is the CPG is not really in the rush to sell, but they perhaps deal the right price and
the right partners.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Now, my only point is that if they were going to sell, it would be planned and you would figure out something that would be orderly and not disrupt the market.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll take note of that, Matt.
Yeah. All right, no worries. And then the final thing is your CapEx was down a lot year over year. When we think about CapEx, I mean, down drastically given the net adds, what can we think about CapEx for the next 3 years and specifically 2017?
Okay, your question was in relation to CapEx. You were asking that our CapEx has been down year on year and given the net adds, and what is actually specifically our CapEx plans in the next 3 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think in terms of CapEx, I think as we highlighted in our 2016, the CapEx spending was about 898 billion. Well, it's basically as we, it's also a passive, a new efficiency that we have done. In fact, we achieve a higher rollout as per guidance, is at the same the budget. It shows that we are doing a smarter rollout plan, whereby we leverage on the partnership extensions, and you know, certainly there's a lot of pockets of opportunity around the A and B, but we also look at it rationally and commercially. Whether you're passing those A and B, would they pass through to area that might not be feasible at this stage? So we might not be doing that if the rationale and the feasibility is not there. So we really put a very smart way of looking at the CapEx. We also need to highlight that compared to 2015, there was a one-off submarine cable cost that we invested. Compared to 2014 and 15, there was a one-off cost on the submarine cable that we invested at 140 billion. So reasonably, we are looking at the guidance for 2017 at the range of about 1 trillion rupiah.
All right, so it will be up slightly year over year.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
All right, and the final question is your business, your enterprise business, or small, medium-sized business, has been growing very, very nicely, 16% of total revenue. And obviously been growing fast in consumer business. How big do you think that market is inside your home's past? And will it continue to grow faster than the consumer business for the near future?
Okay, just to repeat your question was in relation to the small, medium enterprise, the fact that it's been growing at a 16%, and how we foresee that to grow in the next, in the near future.
All right, effectively,
okay, just to answer that.
Faster than the consumer business, correct? So I just wonder if that pace.
It will be faster because it's coming from a smaller base, but right. Just be mindful that that even along the years to come, our priority will always still be the residential business, which is going to be our engine behind. So, again, as we mentioned in our presentation, we expect that the contribution of enterprise to the total revenue will improve from a larger base from, 16 to maybe 20% down the road. So that's our expectations.
Yeah, I think just to refresh, the decision to go to the enterprise, the focus on building up the enterprise was done at the second Q2 of the last year, where really we take our times to restructure the whole product of enterprise. Instead going for each of more a customized product, we really put it as a standard product to really roll it in a big way and a mass way like a residential product. So that's why I also explain what the volume, in terms of volume, that significant growth in the volume, despite that the ARPU might be reduced, because when we change everything to product as a standard package, it's actually the ARPU is diluted. But in terms of volume, certainly we gain more subs. And the whole transition happening in Q3 and in Q4, really you see the momentum when things are picking up rapidly. At the same time also, we deploy a strategy rather than waiting for collecting each customer. We do a lot of pre-wire of certain buildings. So that allow us to speed up connection when a enterprise customer want to come out without have to waiting for a long time. So that strategy has also proven to be a good strategy. This also explain why the enterprise business increasing significantly. Similarly, on the small medium business, initially a lot of this product was dependent on sectoral approach. On each of the sector, we come up with a different product. But while going to SMB, we now repackage them as if it's a residential product. So sales force is restructured. Instead of grouping by sectoral, we group them by area. So they allow them to be work more efficient and deliver the volume. So that explains why we had that momentum in Q4, especially if you look at the trend. The Q4 has been growing up significantly. Also, once we start refocusing on the enterprise, we realizing that we have a lot of competitive advantage in terms of cost, in terms of the majority of the area has been covered when we pass the residential. So the CapEx is efficient as well as the cost. As for example, the bandwidth cost has pretty much been absorbed by the residential area. So our cost is also extremely competitive. So that also allow us to move faster in that respect. I hope that explains.
My final question is the margins have been lifting nicely, and I'm sorry if you've already addressed this. The operator disconnected me, and I had to try to get back in and went back in the queue. But margins have been lifting nicely. I assume part of that is because the business customers, even though lower ARPUs are higher margins because they probably don't take the video product. Is that correct?
Okay, just to repeat your question. Your question was in relation to the margin, the fact that it's been lifting nicely, and you want to know if it's been largely contributed to by the business customers.
From the competitors.
Yes.
Well, are you comparing us with our competitors? Yeah?
No, I'm not. What I'm saying is your business customers, because they don't have a video product, their EBITDA margins are higher than the consumer retail. Has that been partially responsible?
Oh yeah, in terms of corporate, some of them they have, but not a significant portion. They have content products. My majority is just a broadband. I think you are right. That also explains why the margin is high, and as I mentioned earlier, a significant component of the bandwidth costs have been. Actually have been allocated, has been absorbed by the residential. We buy the same bandwidth, and by nature, the residential customer use more bandwidth in the evening, but by nature, corporate clients use more bandwidth on the afternoon, so it's a good complementary. They also explain why the margins are extremely high on that aspect. So,
right.
They also explain why we are very competitive.
All right, so does that mean we can expect there's a good likelihood margins can continue, EBITDA margins can continue to expand and get better?
Enterprise?
I think that's what we believe.
Enterprise overall.
All right. I'll get a call later in the week for more questions, but thank you for the time.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you, Matt.
Our next question is from Tanwa Chinnafa from Fatra Capital. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. I just have two questions. The first one is about your HomePass rollout. During 2014 and 2015, you are rolling out like 200,000 to 250,000 a year. But in 2016, that number dropped down to 150, and also your guidance for 2017 is also 150 or more. So my question is, why is the drop down in the numbers, and is this because of the competition from your from the operators like Telkom? That's the first question.
Hi Tanwa, just to repeat your question. Your question was in relation to the HomePass rollout. You were asking why in 2014 to 2015 we had about 200,000 homes passed. But when it came to 2016 and going forward, why it's actually dropped down. And you want to know if it's because of competitors or any other reason.
Yes.
Yeah, I think can explain a little on the Well, a few things I want to highlight. Number one, back in 2013, we really start from a very low base of home pass. At that time, I think it was only about 900 over 1,000 home pass. And prior to CPC came in, it was only about 550,000 home pass. So really, we really start from a very small home base, home pass. So, and the last from 2014, 15, and 16, we have consistently built about 200,000 and 250,000. And last year we built 150,000. So this also see that, this also describe that 50% of our home pass today is young home pass, right? Then compared to those 2 years ago when it's only all totally an old home pass without any growth in the past. So today, by having 150,000, we still can combine the old, the young home pass that we built that have not been fully penetrated yet. So that still give the growth from the investment that we made in 2014 and 2015. That's why also 2016, we take more rational approach by only doing a more smarter rollout, extensification on the area that the main home pass has been there. At the same time, also we go more rational, don't push ourselves to some area that is certainly a C or D class, but it's not our market segment, or an area even a class, but you have to not feasible to reach there at the moment. We will revisit that one once we get a more cable near to that area. So that also give the reason why we can combine the managing the profitability, combine managing the free cash flow as well, combine managing the growth.
Just to add a little bit, Anwar, so aside from what Iwa mentioned about increasing penetration or intensifications of our strategies, I think in 2015-16, and in fact 2007 itself, we are still feeling a little bit of slowness of the macro. So I guess what we have been spending in terms of our focus and time, aside from expanding, continue to expand, we actually have also spent quite a bit of effort into revamping our network. So we have been doing last year, for example, during 2016, hubs building and then redundancies and, some of our network upgrades. There's no better time for you to do that when the macro is slow. So, so that's our effort also last year.
I see. Okay. Thank you. My second question is about the churn rate. That you are at about monthly 2.2%, which is a bit higher than the global average of about 1.4 to 1.5%. So, what are your plans to bring the churn rate down to the more like global level?
So to repeat your question was in relation to churn rate. You wanted to know why our churn rate is at 2.2%, which you think is above the market rate of 1.5%.
Tanwa, okay, just to be clear in terms of the definitions that we behold for churn, our churn is about 2.2, and that's comprised of not only the voluntary churns, but also the involuntary churn. So because we want to become disciplined in terms of creating only the active subscribers in our book, yeah? So at the 2.2%, if you look into historical data that we have been able to actually well control it at around that range, 2.1 to 2.3 max, right? So we thought that 2.2 is actually a great achievement, and if you compare it with 2015, it was 2.3%. And if you want to add on StarHubs,
well, I wouldn't mention company, but I used to work in Singapore. But well, a lot of companies when they report their churn numbers actually include both IVC as well as the VC. They only report the VC numbers step and they exclude the IVC. So our case actually reported both IVC as well as VC. So I think our churn number is actually a lot more holistic.
Yeah, IVC is a voluntary churn. VC is a voluntary churn. Yeah.
Okay, but the involuntary is more like bad debt, right? Basically.
Yes,
that's correct, yeah. People who doesn't pay you for a couple of months and you still count them. Well, some companies still count them as subscribers.
Yeah.
We don't.
So, you know, like expats that repatriate and leave the setup box behind, we collect it back and we just churn them automatically, clean up the books.
Okay,
so thank you for them moving house.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
That's all my questions.
We take our next question from Shayan Chatterjee from Moon Capital. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. Just firstly, thanks for such good results. I just have two real questions. First, if you could just talk about your competitive landscape other than PT Telecom, are the other guys slowing down given the balance sheet constraints versus, say, a year ago? Second question would be, you know, looking back a year ago and standing today, do you feel more confident about the next 12 to 18 months, you know, given your visibility versus, say, a year ago? And one thing I missed out, perhaps because of the poor line, is did you say CVC was in no hurry to sell? That's it. Thanks.
Hi, Shayon. This is Mina. I'll just repeat three
Hi.
Questions of yours. The first one was in relation to the competitive landscape. You wanted to know if the other competitors are slowing down versus how they were doing a year ago.
Yeah, becoming
more. The second one is about ourselves, whether or not we are actually much more confident now if we look back a year ago and how we actually look at the next 12 to 18 months. And the third one was in relation to CVC. You wanted to know if it was correct whether or not we said CVC was in a hurry or it was in no hurry to sell.
Right.
Okay, I'll take the first question about competitive landscape other than Telkom. Well, we do monitor the rest of the companies. However, given the fact that they're not public companies, we only have basically field survey numbers. What we have noticed from the market is that some of the companies, without mentioning names, they have actually been quite quiet. They do actually expand, but we are still seeing trends of them existing in patchy areas. So in terms of next generation broadband of scale, we still deem that I think they are one of the dominant players of scale. Again, we are not belittling the rest, but we are always having them on the radar on monitoring purposes. On the second question and third question, I think Pak Irwan will answer them.
Like 1 year ago?
Yeah, I think looking back 1 year ago and, you know, when a lot of these new operators have started raising hands and everybody want to get in this business and looking at where we are today, I think management are still more confident that we will remain as a dominant and a leader in this segment, at least for the next 12, 18 months. We are pretty confident to answer your questions. Now, in the question number three regarding CVC, again, certainly management might not be direct position to answer that question, but I think what we say is CVC certainly as a fund, they, one way or the other, they have to exit, but really they are on the right time and the right price. I think we cannot comment much on that. Yeah.
Okay. So your second question, you feel, I'm not talking vis-a-vis your competitors, but just looking at the macro, looking at the consumer confidence, do you feel the willingness of the Indonesian consumer to spend on broadband and cable, you feel more comfortable the next 18 months versus, say, a year ago?
Yeah, we certainly feel more confident today compared to a year ago.
Okay.
If you look at some statistics from the reporting of the number of users of internet have gone up by 1.5 times, number of broadband penetration have increased, that certainly shows some indications that the consumer relying on the broadband and the internet especially has gone up.
Yeah. And just to add a little bit, Shayon, if you look into basically data from the government on the consumer confidence, you will see a little bit of upsize trend. From the Q4 to actually in February, we already see it's actually picking up. And also in terms of GDP, it's also trying to look into a better upright trend. So, yeah, we are hopeful that this continues and second half should be a better semester, a stronger semester.
Thank you. Thanks.
question. Yeah.
Our next question comes from June Supapana Chart from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for your time. Just two questions from me. Firstly, on just wondering for content costs, do you foresee any FX headwinds going forward, like any FX headwinds or pricing pressures? And then secondly, on net profit, you mentioned that part of the reason for the increase is FX gains. Can you tell us how much those were? Thank you.
Hi, June. This is Mina. Just to repeat both of your questions, you were asking about the first one in relation to content costs, whether we think in the future going forward we see any FX pressures. And the second one was in relation to the net profit and whether we foresee an increase in FX gain, and if yes, to what extent. I can take the first question. The first question is in relation to content costs, and you asked about the FX pressures. So basically, how we've typically done our content deals is we've made sure that in most of our major content deals, we have already agreed on an FX rate, so that actually puts us on a little bit of a better ground compared to probably our competitors. And going forward, we foresee being able to do the same in all our deals.
Just to give you some picture, in terms of the number, the FX impact coming out from the content cost in the full year 2016 is around 3 billion rupiah. So if you compare to the content cost itself of like 316 billion, so it's less than 1% basically, the impact of the FX.
Yeah, really.
So it's quite remote basically. Okay, is it clear for the first question?
Yeah. So on the second question, I was just wondering whether you can disclose the total amount of FX gains for 2016.
Yeah, so the total gain of the full year 2016 is only 1 billion basically. But if you compare to 2015, it was the full year of 2015, it was we are having loss for foreign exchange loss of 30 billion. So the swing of the full year between 15 and 16 is 31 billion rupiah.
Okay, sure, I got it. Thank you so much.
Our next question is from Foon Chung Chen from CIMB. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the call. I've got a couple of questions. Firstly, the other revenues are growing quite nicely in the fourth quarter. I just wanted to find out what's driving that. Is that a pickup in advertisement revenues, or is that from upselling the Bolt bundles? Secondly, what are your expectations regarding content and broadband costs as a percentage of revenue going into 2017? How would that trend? And related to the content side, can you perhaps give us a bit more color on what portion is fixed and what portion is variable depending on your number of cable TV subs, and also whether you think new content could drive the content cost up a little bit into 2017. And thirdly, there was a bit of mention about better using the cash that you have built up in your balance sheet, and one of the things that you mentioned was acquisitions. So I just want to find out, perhaps you could throw some color on that. What areas are you looking at in terms of acquisitions? Thank you.
Okay, so I think there are about four questions, so I'll just repeat your questions. The first one was in relation to the revenue. You wanted to know in relation to other revenue, what exactly was the driver, since it's growing quite nicely. The second one was in relation to content and broadband cost. You wanted to know as a percentage of revenue, what is our expectation. The third one, you wanted to know about the percentage and the difference between the variable and the fixed content cost. What is the percentage between the two? And sorry, I actually didn't understand your fourth question. Can you repeat your fourth question again?
Yeah, during the presentation earlier, I think Pak Erwan mentioned about the nice build-up in the cash position in the balance sheet and a couple of things that you guys are looking to do to better optimize that cash. Of course, one of the things you said was 35% payout in dividends, which is much appreciated. But there was also a mention about using that possibly for acquisitions. So I just wanted to get a bit more color on that.
Okay, I'll take the first question first. Okay, in regards to revenue growth, in Q4, the others revenue is actually coming from one, the advertising media. We have actually a little bit of incremental in Q4. Secondly, is actually the upselling of the value-added services. That actually includes not only the Bolt 4G LTE, the bundle, but also the speed boosters and also the X1 setup box that actually based on Android setup box, smart setup box. So those contribute the other revenues growth in that quarter. You want to take the rest? Oh,
yeah,
you want to take the second one? The cost?
In terms of cost, in terms of content, I think we expect the thing will be pretty much stable as per to last year. As some of these contracts are actually a long-term contract, 2 years or 3 years, and certainly some part of the costs are still there. And in fact, there might be some room, as some part of the components are fixed costs, then allow us to get better margin once we have a bit of more subs. In terms of the broadband costs, we know that the last 2 years, the broadband costs become a commodity, has been dropping continuously. But I think it come to the end of the things are pretty stable down at the moment. The broadband costs, since we bought some submarine cable, the cost associated with that have been dropped significantly. I think we pretty much see that things are going forward will be pretty safe to say that it will be stable, not to mention if possible will go down a bit further, slightly. So that's the trend that we look at it.
The third question was about the percentage of cost between variable and fixed. Most of our content costs are actually fixed, and as Pak Irwan mentioned, it gives us a bit more advantage when we grow our subs.
Yeah. Now, in terms of your comment about, yeah, there's, I think, about the usings of the build-up of the cash. Well, we mentioned three areas. I think, of course, one is the dividend, a buyback. The two is about the continue to reinvest in the business as top priority. As there's plenty of room to grow of our home footprint. Of course, one of the areas that we mentioned also, the looking out for good M&A that will position us at the stronger in the market. Certainly, this opportunity, if they are around, for example, some small ISP players in the Texas area or in some other cities, that might be opening for a possibility for acquisition to speed up the growth. I think there's any opportunity come to us, we will be certainly would like to take a look and, you know, any opportunity that is solid and certainly give a value to us, we might be considered to do that. Yeah.
Okay, thanks for that. Can I just follow up with one additional question? I mean, Pak Erwan, you mentioned that you know the content costs you know should be fairly stable, and you know you have your revenues growing. Therefore, it looks as if the you will still derive quite a bit of scale benefits for both the content and broadband bandwidth costs going into 2017. So if that's the case, why is it that you know you're guiding for margins to be 57% to 58%? Which means to say either stable to slightly lower compared to 2016. Do you see any sort of cost pressures elsewhere that will result in that?
Okay, just so basically to repeat the question you just now asked, if we are expecting our content and broadband costs to remain relatively the same, then you wanted to know why is it that our margins are at 57%. and also whether or not we are expecting the cost to be, whether we're having cost pressures from elsewhere.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Two things I want to highlight. Number one is, as I mentioned, the cost of the content, especially this component of fixed and variable, right? The variable is basically is go up aligned with the volume. Now the fixed part is the one that we can allow us to have some better margin once we have a better volume. So there's a potential some room for that, but might not be certainly a significant. As also you're aware that when you have a new acquisitions, normally the ARPU is actually lower because when people start coming in, along the line you only can building up, adding more value added service or adding more product to them to allow the time. So combining that those two, the ARPU was mixed out and there will be balance at the stable at that time. So it also doesn't mean it will grow the margin. While at the same time, OPEX related to the sales is also variable. So GA is pretty much also linked to the volume. So we think that all other components will be pretty much stable, then achieving the same gross profit margin that, and the EBITDA margin that we will expect.
Okay, understood. Okay, thank you so much for the answers. Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now at the end of our question and answer session, so we'll take our last question. It's from Henry Wibowo from Bahana Securities. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hey guys. Thank you for the presentation. I have key questions here. Firstly, can you tell us what is the latest broadband penetration in Greater Jakarta area as per end of 16? As compared end of 15, and what is Linknet's market share specifically in Greater Jakarta area as per end of last year versus end of 15? Secondly, can you mention some of the new names of your enterprise business clients? We all know that IDX is one of your biggest clients, and who are these new names that you guys have been acquiring? And lastly, I might have missed this in the beginning, but can you repeat the guidance on ARPU and EBITDA margin for this year? And if we look way more forward, like by 2020, what will be the sustainable ARPU and EBITDA margin by then? Thank you.
Hi, Henry. I'll just repeat your question. So you had three questions. The first question was in relation to broadband penetration. You wanted to know what the broadband penetration was in Jakarta in 2015, and what it is like compared to 2015, and you also asked what Linknet's portion is, again comparing 2015 to 2016. The second question was in relation to enterprise clients. You wanted to know the names of the enterprise clients. And the third one is you asked about the ARPU and EBITDA margin and what our guidance is in relation to that.
Okay. Hi, Henry. It's Leo here. On the broadband penetration, we always give a blended numbers of the total cities where we have our footprint. So currently, our broadband penetration is about 29% total. Yeah, but if you look into Jakarta itself, where we have actually the largest subscribers pool, you will think basically if I will take the vintages, it can be as high as basically 35 to 40% penetration. Yeah. On the second question in regards to enterprise names, I'm afraid we can't give you the list. We can take it offline. It's not something that we discussed actually here.
Yeah, I think of course the broadband penetration by Jakarta itself, the numbers not available, but I think I can give you some color about the total market size. In Greater Jakarta, what we believe based on the addressable A and B household as defined by Nielsen in 2015, the addressable household is about 3.6 million household. And today we have about the home pass in Jakarta itself about 1.4 million. So this gives you an estimated coverage ratio of 38% of our home pass. you know. So there'll be some guidance, some color about the, where are we compared to the others.
Thank you. But just to follow up on that one, the 38% is as per end of last year, is it? How's that compared to as per end of
2016? Okay, we don't have yet. Yeah, I don't have the numbers.
Yeah.
Or
the 2016 update.
Yeah.
Exactly.
MPA usually. We'll update you basically once
you
got the numbers from MPA.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Henry.
Ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude today's question and answer session. I would now like to turn the call back to our hosts for any additional or closing remarks.
Is there anything else? I think we thank everyone for attending. If there's no more questions, we can end it. We'll hand it back to you, operator.
Thank you, madam. Ladies and gentlemen, we have now come to the end of the call. Thank you again for your attendance. You may disconnect at your convenience and have a good evening.